Welcome to another episode of the Dean Smith Podcast, presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down each month to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Wade, and I am joined, as always, by our fearless leader, Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, first and foremost, how you doing today?
Doing great. I got a little head cold, Ben, so I'm fighting through, but otherwise I'm doing pretty good. Really excited about our spring sports.
Absolutely. We appreciate you battling through and being with us today. Gene, after the winter season wrapped up, our department currently holds the third place spot in the Learfield Director's Cup standings. What does that represent in your eyes, and how does it reflect the work that's being done by our department?
Yeah, that's a pride point. You know, when you have a metrics that evaluates your competitive success like you do our academic success, it's always good to be at the top of the pyramid. And I'm really proud of our student athletes this past year, particularly the winter sports. They really killed it and did exceptionally well and positioned it well for our spring sports to help us kind of close it out and hopefully be in the hunt. So says a lot. We had a great academic year, unbelievable academic year with our student athletes. So that combined with this competitive success says a lot about the quality of our student athletes, but also the quality of our coaching, the quality of the support staff around them. They're just excelling exceptionally well.
And you said this puts us in a good position to end strong. How do you think we're going to fare in the final standings after the spring season?
Yeah, we have a chance to be up there in the top echelon. And you know, both our men's and women's tennis programs won conference championships over the weekend, and they have a chance to run into the tournament after they get through the Big Ten tournaments. Then our softball team is playing exceptionally well. Our rowing program is, our young ladies are rowing exceptionally fast on the water, and our track programs are both ranked in the top 12. So we have some sports that can bring us some points. Our golf programs, our women just got into the NCAA regionals, and hopefully they can get out of there and continue to advance. And our men's program, I think they're pretty good. They got a chance this weekend in the Big Ten tournament over in French Lick. So, you know, our spring sports have a great opportunity to progress in the NCAA championships and bring us some points, and hopefully we can be in the hunt at the end.
Exciting to see how things round out here at the end of this season. Most recently, we were able to host 60,000 of our closest friends at the spring game over at Ohio Stadium, which is always sort of marks the beginning of football season in my mind, strangely. This seemed like a good opportunity to revisit some of the changes that are coming for the 2022 football season. And to discuss these, we're fortunate to be joined by some of our department's best and brightest. So first, we're joined by Associate Athletic Director for Annual Giving and the Buckeye Club, Jordan Berkmeyer. Next, we are welcoming Senior Associate Athletic Director for Sports Administration, Jocelyn Gates. We also are joined by Senior Associate Athletic Director for Ticketing and Premium Seating, Brett Scarborough. And finally, we're happy to welcome Associate Athletic Director and General Manager of the Jerome Schottenstein Center, Colin Thompson. So thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I wanted to kick things off talking about what's near and dear to my heart, ticketing in the Buckeye Club and the updates that we have for that for the 22 season. Brett, I wanted to start with you. Could you tell us real briefly about the changes coming to football season ticket structure here at Ohio State for the 22 season?
Sure, Ben. Actually, these changes were a long time in the works, and we actually made the announcement back in February of 2021 just to prepare our season ticket holders and fans for the changes that were coming along. So the primary change really is about rescaling the stadium. So in the old model, we had two price zones, and in the new model, we have six price zones. So it's going to provide a lot more flexibility and options in pricing, and we're adjusting those pricing prices accordingly. So the price for an end zone C-deck seat is not the same as a 50-yard line A-deck seat as it was in the old model. For season tickets, it also assigns a per seat contribution in five of those six zones, which Jordan's going to speak about here in a moment. So for the 2022 season ticket prices will range from $559 to $1,287 per seat for the general public. with seat contributions ranging from $0 to $1,500 per seat. So the good news is over half of the seats in the stadium, after we were done with this model, had a reduction in ticket price from the 21 season. And from a single game perspective, we'll have tickets priced as low as $42 to come see the Buckeyes live in action. So it's really about reacting to a lot of the feedback we've received over the years about creating more variety in the pricing and better aligning our pricing by section more closely to market and able to provide more pricing options for fans to attend games.
It's always reassuring and fantastic when we're able to make things less expensive. That's it's a good opportunity for our fans to get engaged moving into this season. Gene, what prompted these changes?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we were looking at this for a very long time, working with the ticket office and development, particularly Buckeye Club. Over the years, we've made some modifications to our seating arrangement in the stadium, but we've been targeting this particular model for years. And we finally were able to get to a point where we felt comfortable that we could implement it. And we felt that our fans largely would embrace it. We needed a section that was donor-free, and that's the Zone 6 that Brett alluded to. And but at the same time, we need to align ourselves with what everybody else in the country was doing. Our seating structure was fragmented based upon groups and historical decisions that have been made. This allowed us to really look at the pricing structure consistent with the premium seat location. And it gives people a choice. It gives you a choice. If you want to sit on the 50-yard line, this is what it costs. And if you want to sit on the sitting C deck on the 25-yard line, this is what it costs. It gives you the option. And so something we've been talking about for years, we actually had a group, Brett, I forgot what year it was, the Aspire group that came in and did a study for us. And we had conversations with the board and we walked away from it at that particular time. We didn't feel we were structured well enough to put it in place. So really glad that we've been able to implement this moving forward.
Jordan, Brett and Gene kind of alluded to this, but could you tell us how this impacted the Buckeye Club and its members?
Yep, sure. So before this change, we had a membership model where someone made a donation to the Buckeye Club for each pair of tickets. So regardless of your seat location, you were making the donation and then you were paying the cost of the tickets. This is the same price of the ticket, no matter where you sat. So now we have the per seat contribution model and it breaks the stadium up into the six different zones, each zone with a different PSC and a different ticket cost. Like Brett alluded to, the seat contributions range from $0 to $1,500 based on the section of the stadium that you're in. And that PSC, that's now what counts towards your Buckeye Club membership. So no longer making that annual donation for the pair of the tickets, that seat contribution is what goes towards making you a Buckeye Club member. And like Gene said, we do have a zone in the stadium that doesn't require any PSC at all. You just pay the cost of the ticket in those sections and you don't have to be a donor to get access to season tickets. So these changes have allowed us to move from a one size fits all model to one that offers much more flexibility in pricing for season ticket holders.
Brett, what year was it we hired that Aspire group? Do you remember?
Yeah, that was in 2013.
Yeah, it's been a while. It gets we went back a long way to get to where we are today.
We've been studying this for a long time, and it's exciting to finally be catching up with a lot of our peers in D1.
That raises a good question, Brett. Gene, how do these changes compare to the broader national landscape?
Yeah, as you know, if you were going to build a new stadium today, this is how you sit it. You seat it based upon where people would pay the highest price and cascade it from there. We're aligned with a lot of schools across the country that do it this way. There are a lot of schools that didn't have donor levels in their stadium, but when they added them, the team up north, for example, they were able to do it cleanly because they didn't have all the different constituency groups that we've developed over the years that we had to work around. So it's comparable to what everyone else in the country is doing. I'm really excited about it.
Brett, how's this change in ticket structure going to help our department moving forward?
Well, it's really about providing access and options. Obviously, revenue is part of it, but it's really about appealing to maybe a different type of fan that didn't saw a barrier of entry of becoming a season ticket holder. So now with those lower entry prices and even with some sections not requiring the per seat contribution, it just provides an opportunity for people to have options and for a segment of our fans to become season ticket holders at a very modest rate that was not available to them before. So I'm also optimistic that we're going to increase attendance at games since we're pricing sections differently. It's by providing that more affordability in sections that we've struggled to sell tickets for. In some of those games, you know, when we get to the north end of C-Deck, pricing that the same as a 50-yard line seat on A-Deck was just an antiquated method of doing business. And so now by providing that affordability up there, I'm really optimistic that we're going to boost the attendance at all of the games by creating that lower entry point in pricing. And so far with our season ticket process, it's been going really well. We had a renewal rate of over 86%, and we've also had over 16,000 new season tickets sold. So that's really exciting. That brings our season ticket holder total to over 53,000. And that's the most season tickets that we've sold since the 2017 season.
That's fantastic. Really excited to see the horseshoe packed, especially for that first game on September 3rd when Gene's alma mater comes into town. Jordan, how is the change in membership structure for the Buckeye Club going to benefit?
Thanks, Ben. So the changes, they're going to help us generate additional revenue for the student athlete scholarships, plain and simple. The scholarship bill that we'll pay back to the university this year will be more than $29 million. So we've seen our membership numbers grow from 8,800 members last year to over 14,000 members this year. So these changes are going to allow us to cover more of those scholarship costs and help us build the pipeline for the next wave of donors that we're going to need as we continue to move forward.
Jordan, where can folks find more information about these changes?
They can find it on the website, the main athletics website, ohiostatebuckeyes.com.
And they can, I would be remiss, Gene, if I didn't mention, you can find more information about supporting Ohio State athletics philanthropically at buckeyeclub.org.
Good job, Ben. Way to catch yourself.
just trying to get the word out there, you know. Next, I wanted to make sure, too, since you know, there's a key celebration around Ohio Stadium this year that we did a brief update about facilities both there and all of the football facilities here on campus. And Colin, we're excited to have you to chat about that a little bit. I'm sure some of the listeners are aware of this already, but can you tell us about the changes that are coming for the football facilities this fall?
Sure. I think the biggest one that everybody's we kind of featured in our social there for a while is the change of the field at Ohio Stadium. So that's going to be coming out. We're also in the process of replacing the field at our indoor practice facility as well. And then just a lot of refresh to the facilities after we use them over the year. We try to get in them and just clean them up and make them fresh and ready to go for the upcoming year.
Gene, how far in advance do we have to plan changes like this, like swapping out the turf at Ohio Stadium? And why is that important?
Yeah, so we, I have to compliment Colin and Mike Pinner and all the others in our facilities area. We have a great deferred maintenance plan. And prior to the pandemic, we were doing exceptionally well with all of our facilities relative to deferred maintenance. And obviously the pandemic slowed us down. And so the investments that we're making now aren't as high as they were prior to the pandemic, but we're going to get back to those. So we try our best to plan in advance. Field replacement was planned. We knew that had to be replaced. The indoor field replacement was planned. Another area that we're changing is the field hockey turf. Colin can talk about that a little bit. That was planned. And so we really spend time with our facilities crew giving us feedback. When we did the cement deal in what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. That was a $6.3 million investment for the iconic shoe. But annually, we need to continue to address the cement in order to ensure that it doesn't deteriorate over time. So even though we did that, we still invest, you know, six figures every single year in cement. And so we're really blessed to have great facilities people. They keep us abreast of the things we need to do in a timely fashion.
Colin, Gene Rains is an interesting point as this marks the 100th anniversary of Ohio Stadium standing as a pillar of our department. What sort of deferred maintenance is necessary to maintain a century-old facility, including that work on the poured concrete?
Concrete restoration is one of the big ones. It's a big concrete building. So every year in the spring, we work with an engineering partner and the staff. We walk the building, look for areas to kind of patch and fix up, and we try to shore it up every year. We're also in all of our premium spaces, our indoor spaces, just trying to refresh again, paint, carpet, just trying to keep things fresh. So as we invite our guests in, the building looks fantastic. A lot of that building is undercover too. So a lot of the plumbing is exposed and subject to Ohio's wonderful weather. So whenever we turn the water back on every spring, we always find a couple of surprise leaks. So the team in that facility spends a lot of time doing plumbing repairs as well, getting ready for the spring game.
And the wiring is at risk as well, as Gene showed anyone that follows him on Twitter. Those squirrels get in there and they'll chew right through that stuff.
The squirrels have a taste for fiber.
Squirrels, I'm telling you, you got to find them, man. I think they got a little consortium going on.
I think they're all from Ann Arbor. That's just my opinion. But Gene, in 1922, Ohio Stadium was both the world's largest poured concrete structure and Ohio State Athletics' first athletics fundraising campaign. Tell us your thoughts about that facility and Ohio Stadium as a symbol of our department.
It ties a little bit to what we were just talking about. It's a significant responsibility that we all have to maintain it and make sure that everyone, particularly in the state of Ohio, when they come, they see it and they feel comfortable that it's being maintained. It's a historic facility. So it's one that we have to take care of. And it's just every time I'm in there, whether there's a contest or not, it just moves you. The opportunities that we have to host concerts or commencement or obviously our contest, you're bringing people in and you want them to have a remarkable experience. And that relates directly to making sure we take care of it. You know, the restrooms and everything that Colin talked about with the plumbing. So it's funny, I kind of look at it a little differently when I'm in there. I kind of walking around looking at different things and make sure we stay on top of it. Even the asphalt in the concourse area to make sure that that's taken care of. So there's just so many different things.
It is, having worked there as a student, it is maybe my favorite place on campus. And I love that you can still see the framing, the wood framing where they poured the concrete into it. It's fascinating facility, but I want to make sure we talked on the young gentlemen that actually play there on Saturdays in the fall as well. And Jocelyn, we're excited to have you here to chat about the program on the whole. There's a lot of new faces over at the WAC. As far as coaches, GAs, and assistants, how are the new staff members getting acclimated over there?
Well, thankfully, I haven't seen a lot of them because they hit the ground running. As soon as they got here, I went on the road recruiting, trying to find our new Buckeyes. So that's obviously been wonderful. They've also been working really hard to build those relationships and trust with our current players. And that's a priority, and that's really important. Obviously, change is always something that's difficult, but it brings such great opportunities for wonderful things. So I've been hearing how much our players are really enjoying the new staff members. They're really buying into the new system. So we're really excited for what's to come.
This is, I guess, one of the few industries where you're really excited not to see your new staff members.
Exactly.
Welcome aboard. I don't want to see you for 2 months. Gene, programmatically, we made a bit of a leap in staff compensation for football this year. Why that change, and what was your thought process going into that?
Well, one of our responsible responsibilities around personnel management is first and foremost talent acquisition, talent development, and talent retention. And compensation is a big part of that. We all go to work and, you know, we have opportunities to, you know, move up in our individual areas. And, you know, we want to be compensated based upon that value that we bring into the environment. And so that's just real life. That's with whatever business you're in. So for us, we needed to make sure we had the best staff around our football players. And then as Justin shared, the coaches are out recruiting. When they come here, we want to make sure they have the right support and the right teaching. And so getting the best in the business is really what we do. And then we got to make sure we help them develop. You know, even though even Ryan Day, who, you know, was a first time head coach, helping him develop his personnel management philosophy and his organizational theory and all that type of stuff. You know, that's part of what we do. And so compensation is huge, but development is another part of it.
Jocelyn, speaking of personal growth and development, one of the people that's in a newer role over there or transition roles is Harry Miller. What is his role looking like now after medically retiring and bravely sharing his story?
It's not fully defined yet, but our hope is that we would have him as a student coach. That way he can help mentor some of our other players while also learning a whole nother side of football. It's very important to our staff that he is still part of the program, but what's most important to everyone is that we want to support Harry in whatever it is he wants to do. So we're sitting with him talking about what it is that he wants to do, what does he want to learn, what are his goals for the role so that we can fully define what it looks like.
It's fantastic. Gina, we've spoken a little bit about the resources that are we provided for our student athletes' mental health here, but this is probably the first time that a lot of the general fans have seen it in practice. How has Harry's experience emboldened our position on mental health support as a department?
Well, you know, it brought great attention and awareness to the issue. And it really helped bring to light, you know, how we embrace what we have to embrace, which is the fact that our students, like all students, have mental health issues. And some of them come to us with those issues. Some of them come to us with their own counselors. And so we have to make sure we, as I tell my teammates, we always have to go to where our kids are. We have to make sure that we listen and ask the right questions and then make sure we help them with the right support structure. So, you know, having our sports psychologists embedded in our sports programs, significant. So our athletes will feel comfortable talking to them and being around them. So Harry's comments publicly meant a great deal, not just to athletics, but to the institution and all of our students and all the students nationally as well. For someone that's, you know, a 4.0 student majoring in engineering and, you know, started and just an unbelievable human being to, you know, address this publicly was big for us.
And also to add on to that, just to your point, Harry speaking up about this and seeing the support that he was able to get, it allows all of our other student athletes and staff to know that they can speak up also when something's going on and that they're going to have their family wrap their arms around them.
That's exactly right. Well said.
Jocelyn, what else is new with the football team? How is the program progressing?
Well, obviously we talked about we have a new staff, so that brings new opportunities, a new way of seeing and doing things, essentially like a new way of football. So that's really a huge focus right now. Our high school camps are coming up in June. That's very important as it relates to recruiting. And honestly, still figuring out this new normal post-COVID and what that looks like. But I think our fans are really in for an exciting season this upcoming year. I think it's going to be some really fun football to watch.
It's fantastic. Gene, you won't be surprised to know, I went to one of these high school camps when I was coming up, a youngster down from Toledo. I'm still waiting for my scholarship offer. I never got it. But I guess if, you know, I can reach back out to Ryan and see where that's standing. But before we wrap things up, Gene, I want
to wait too long, Ben. Don't wait too long. I don't want to crush your bubble, but might as well go ahead and bust it, right, Jordan?
That's don't perfect. Wait too long. Sometimes it's just better to know. It's just better to know. Gene, before we wrap things up, what's next for the Buckeyes? What do we have coming up for the department?
Yeah, we just all of our spring sports competing. We're hosting baseball and softball this weekend. And then probably after, we also have our women's lacrosse as well. But we probably will host maybe the first and second rounds of the men's and women's NCAA tennis tournament the weekend of May 6th. So that'll be exciting for everyone. And then we have a number of concerts going on. Alabama's in the shot, and then we have Journey coming up, and we just have a number of different events that are going on. And then, of course, the big one is commencement on May 9th, I believe, or 8th, whatever it is. And so it's just a lot going on.
It's fantastic. You got to pass out those well-earned pieces of paper.
Yes, yes. And we'll, you know, our athletes did a great job. We celebrated 788 of them who are scholar athletes who maintain a 3.0 GPA, and 35 of our 36 sports maintain a cumulative GPA of north of 3.0. And then we had 51 4.0s, and our average GPA was 3.39. So it was just a great academic year. Just phenomenal. They, you know, kind of academic performance like Jordan Berkmeyer was in college.
Absolutely. Undoubtedly. Yeah. A real scholar, that Jordan Berkmeyer. And we're lucky to have had him today. But that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Colin, Jocelyn, Jordan, Brett, really appreciate you guys and your time. Gene, as always, appreciate you taking some time to update our listeners on what's going on here. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed this far. Until next time, we'd like to wish you all well. Hope you're staying healthy and safe. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.